Must be John. Must be John.
Hey, Ryan.
How are you doing, John?
Pretty good. Can't complain. Happy Monday.
Yes, a happy Monday.
So far.
No reason that it might change.
I hope not. I don't think so.
Yeah.
The only thing might change, it might start storming up here.
Oh, I was going to talk to you about that, John. You know, my policy is no matter how stormy, I go out. And
okay,
you have to be prepared. And so, like, having a large, a sturdy umbrella really helps, you know, as long as it's, it's not stormy, then you just walk along with it, you know, either carry it or use it as a, you know, like a cane, you know, but.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, and then if it starts to rain, you know, you just pull that damn thing out and then I think it's really important, you know, to wear clothes that you feel warm in, and you know, no matter how much wind, or even your legs might get a little wet, you know, you're still, you know, covered enough that you feel comfortable. And I mean, you're, I think, in a more vulnerable situation than most people because of, you know, you're kind of high up and it's rainy. And you know, so.
Oh no, that's fine. Yeah, I'll go. I can do that.
Yeah, let me know what you come up with. You know what I'm saying? What kind of an outfit?
I just got shorts and like a windbreaker. But that's enough.
How about
if I stay moving, I stay warm.
You have an umbrella?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it's not raining right now. It's just getting a little dark.
Yeah, I think if you think it could rain and you want to keep yourself as warm as possible, I'd say, you know, take an umbrella. Just
okay.
Doesn't have to be open. You can carry it along.
Okay. I can go grab one.
More for the discipline than anything. You know what I mean, John?
Sure, that's no problem. I will walk into the garage and get the umbrella.
We are Who is 7633?
That's me.
Is that Kathy?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi, how are you folks doing?
Good.
You recognize John, of course, Kathy Yell. John from the Big Island. So you've been under the weather, Kathy, and you're kind of just getting back into it. And
that is correct.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I said that is correct.
Yep, that is correct. And this gives me an opportunity to talk about a few things. And I want to approach it from the point of view the rules with regard to having a cold or what you might call allergy symptoms. If you have allergy symptoms or a cold, then the rule is that you do not train. You don't come out with us. You don't. I'm talking about both person to person or face to face, and also you don't go out by yourself to do a workout while you're sick or you have allergy symptoms, like, you know, your nose is running and you may have chills or whatever, you know, what we usually associate with a respiratory illness of some sort, like a cold, okay, or the flu,
okay,
more serious version. And so in a situation like that, the rule is don't train, stay indoors and rest. We assume, or I assume, that if you have a cold, it's because you're run down to a point where you're vulnerable to the cold in some way. And so what we want to do is make sure that our resistance to colds is high by not burning our energy stupidly. So it takes the body a lot of energy to keep it warm in chilly conditions, what you might call chilly. And it's so easy to put on a layer or two of something. Then, you know, if it gets too warm, you take a layer off. At least you have a layer that's tied around your waist or something. And that way you stay warm and comfortable. You want to feel comfortable. Maybe even toasty comfortable, but comfortable. And that way your body doesn't have to work really hard to keep you comfortable. Hear what I'm saying? And so you save that energy. That's like life energy. And you don't want to use it needlessly. So,
okay.
Go ahead.
Nope, that sounds good.
You know, we're 5:37 in the evening. And so Kathy, John, I think you guys should be on the road. And I could assume that you've been on the road for 3 minutes and say that we started at 5:35, or we could start now. Should we start now?
Well,
I've been walking for a while, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I've been walking about 10 minutes, but doesn't matter.
Okay, let's say we started at 5:35. And and we'll end at 6:35. And we'll do a little bit of stretching. So start off, you should be pretty much through the first little segment where you're holding yourself back kind of severely. And, you know, just being very relaxed. And then, you know, after about 10 minutes of that, you can, as you feel yourself kind of stabilizing, your energy is stabilizing. You don't feel like you're on the edge of any kind of injury issue. You know, everything feels nice and warmed up, limber, ready to go. That's good. Then you just hang in there. Keep it up. let's take a couple of minutes of silent interlude to reflect in any way you want . 2 minutes. I think Jerry just joined us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right here.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
How we doing? Oh, that's Kathy. How you feeling?
I'm a lot better.
Good, good, good.
Good. Hey, Jerry.
Yes, sir. How we doing?
Good.
I had to watch that double NCAA. Had to watch that whole NCAA final game there.
Oh, yeah. Who won?
Kansas City beat them. Came back.
Oh, yeah. They didn't have a very
yeah, beat them by three. Oh, they were terrible, weren't they?
Yeah, that first half.
Oh, they're down like 15 points. They said that's like a record to come back and win.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what a game.
Once they got the... They got that momentum going.
Oh, it's crazy.
They're doing good.
What a turn. Yeah, what a turnaround.
Plus, the guy got hurt. Their star.
Yeah.
They had to yank him. He couldn't even move around.
Right.
Kind of did an experiment with March Madness this year. I wanted to find out whether I could not watch any of the games, but sort of keep by reading the newspaper accounts, which I get every morning. And I was able to do it. I mean, and I didn't miss it, you know. And that's like the first time in years, you know, of, you know, there's certain, like the semi-final weekend, the Elite Eight, so to speak, you know, that weekend, whittling it down to four, you know, 16, 8, or is it that's an interesting week. Usually those are the teams that are the best and they have the best coaches. This year it looked like it was a little bit weird. You know, things were happening that, you know, like weren't the two top seeds boy. I tell you, one of the things that I've been doing lately is gardening, landscaping, multiple projects. That's a workout.
That'll keep you busy.
Yeah, right. I told you that I'm attempting to host 4 parties during our 60th high school reunion week.
Really? And when is that coming up?
The first party is on the 24th of May. So I don't know. It's like, I don't know, 6 weeks away, 7, I'm not sure. But I know that I've got to make hay while the day is long. And I know that the kinds of things that I want to accomplish are, you know, it's going to take a number of weekends like I just did, I think.
How did you get talked into hosting 4 get-togethers?
Oh, it's my idea.
Well, so there.
You know, I'm being a little bit unclear. I'm being a little unclear because I'm actually not hosting 3 of the 4. I'm only hosting 1 of the 4, but I hope I've found other people who are hosting them. And I say hope, you know, it looks good. I mean, people seem to be responding, you know, with enthusiasm and responsibility. You know, they're taking their responsibility seriously to find people that they want to invite to their party. And so I don't have any say about who they invite and how many they invite. So they, you know, right now we've got one group is, you know, it doesn't matter what we call them, but they got 6 people, 6 guys, 6 classmates coming. Including them, 2 guys, they're the callers. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. You know, it's a fairly small group. Unless all the women come, which I'm not sure if they would. I have no idea. I'm not inviting. So I can't say. And they haven't told me. But the point is that they're in charge of their evening. And the only stipulation is that I'm invited too. And that you hear what I'm saying? My house guest is one of my best friends. We can safely call him one of my best friends from high school days. And you know, I don't want to go in. I can talk about our friendship, but my point is, he's going to be staying with me, he and his wife, during the reunion week. They come on Monday, and they'll leave, I think, the next Monday. And there are only two official reunion, what do you call,
events
on Saturday, graduation and a big shindig at, you know, a country club or what. And so I'm going to both of those things. And then there are other people in the class who are sponsoring their own little thing, whatever it is, on the side that I don't even know about, which is fine with me. You know what I'm saying? If people are organizing things on their own,
yep,
groups, that's exactly what I want. So, and then, you know, my contribution is my house, my property, for these four evenings. And the first evening, I have some selected friends, and I also have the people that are on the committee to invite people to the other three parties. And so they're going to be there on Tuesday night, my party. And these are, you know, people that I like and respect from the class. And so I'm really looking forward to that get together, I'll tell you.
Because you graduated from St. Louis?
Yes, I did.
Is it, I don't even know, but is it still an all-boys school?
Yes, it is.
And what's the sister school?
I don't know. I mean, Sacred Hearts is the closest all girl.
Oh, yeah. Sacred Hearts, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the school on Wiley.
Right.
Yeah. And how many did you have in your graduating class?
Oh, it was more than 200. I don't know, 200.
Oh, 220. That's pretty good size.
Yeah, it was. We have, I think, 60 classmates that are pretty much committed to coming.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, that's, I think it's pretty good. You know, for
yeah,
the 60th, you know.
Because by now, only the people that really want to show up are going to come.
Probably.
I think the ones that don't want to come, they're not, you know, after all this time.
Yeah, my house guest partner in doing this, his name is Michael, by the way. He and I are beating the bushes to get people, especially from the mainland, to travel.
Yeah.
And of course, one of the inducements is, you know, come to Brian's place. Or,
hey, Gary.
Yes, sir.
I think Saturday you mentioned that you were going to be going to the mainland.
Yeah, in June I'm going.
So are you going home?
Yeah, I'm going home for a little bit. Then on the way back, I'm going to stop in Vegas for a few days and fly back.
Uh-huh. So where's home?
I was actually born and raised in Champaign, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to stop. I'm going to fly into St. Louis. I like baseball, right? So St. Louis Cardinals are playing. St. Louis Cardinals are playing the Chicago Cubs the night I fly in. So I'm going to stay in St. Louis for a night, and then going to travel up to Illinois for 5 or 6 days and come on back home.
Champaign, that's where one of the Illinois schools, huh? University of Illinois.
Yeah. That's it. They were in the league. They were in the March Madness, and they got beat by the second round.
Oh yeah. Oh, that must be a pretty decent sized school.
Yeah. I grew up there, but I didn't go to college there. Yeah, I was gone by then.
I think one of my classmates from high school graduated from there. It's a big school.
Yeah. It's a lot of medical. They're actually known for a lot of medical stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, at least the weather will be nicer than now.
It gets a little humid there in June, but I mean, you know, it's not bad at all. Good traveling weather. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Hopefully.
And it won't be cold.
No, not at all. I don't miss that. I do not miss that.
I went to school in St. Paul. And it's been 70, 30, almost 60 years now, and I've gone back only twice. I had no desire to go back there.
I'm surprised you went back that many times.
It was in July, so I felt pretty sure it'd be warm, but man, it was.
Yeah.
I guess if it's in your it wasn't in my roots, so.
No, not in mine either. I have no desire.
What took you there, John? What took you there?
Actually, my high school had kind of a pipeline. It's a small liberal arts school called McAllister College. And somehow there were about 8 or 10 students there. And back then, that was a lot. And actually, my dad graduated from the University of Minnesota, and my sister also graduated from the university. So we had kind of familiar with it. But I'd never lived there. It's too cold.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I know it has a reputation for being cold, but I couldn't give you numbers. But I'm sure it was frigid and not fun to be out in, you know, like doing the kinds of things that I did at Oregon, running, you know, up in the mountains. Eugene.
At least if it's hot, I mean, you can get heat stroke and all of that, but if you get caught out in the cold, you could die. I mean, it's scary. Because I remember every winter they'd have, a lot of times high school students, they'd be out somewhere with their girlfriend or whoever, and they'd just sit in park, and then they'd either get carbon monoxide poisoning or they'd, you know, go off the road or something, and they'd end up freezing to death. So that's crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No, not when it's that cold. But like I said, they got a lot of Scandinavians, German, Irish, because a lot of them, when they came to the United States, into New York, all the ones who were farmers, a lot of them moved to the Minnesota, Dakotas, because the farmers were kind of used to that kind of weather. But it's too cold.
Especially if you're from Hawaii, you know?
Yeah. I mean, how can you farm and it's like 10 degrees below zero? That's nuts.
Is it, as my friend Michael says, it doesn't make sense.
No. But it doesn't. If it's in your roots, you know, then I can understand that. That's, as some of them, that's their history. So, but it's cold.
You're saying it makes cold for them?
They were used to it. I wasn't. When I went away as a freshman, I had a parka and a cardigan sweater, and that's all I had. It was quite a an awake. I never had like any kind of heavy coat, just a parka and a zip-up sweater. So yeah, it was way too cold. Illinois gets pretty cold though.
Yeah. I mean, it's got the four seasons, but the biggest thing now is those tornadoes, you know. Tornadoes can, they just come across. You don't expect it, and out the door you go, you know.
Yep. So, the wind.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Some people love it up there, though, and I mean, we talk about in this training, you know, we talk about mindset and pushing and stuff like that. But if you grew up in Illinois and that's all you knew, even though you see California, you know, Florida in the wintertime, people swimming, you're just like, oh, that's just TV. and you know, it's just TV. You can't do that crap out here in January.
Yeah.
Well, then I took a leap of faith, joined the service. And I went to California, and I just happened to be out there in January, and I could go swimming in the ocean, and I didn't know that. And I called home one day because I was still like in the military out there. I said, "Hey, Jack and Eileen, how you doing? Oh, we're shoveling snow. It's 18 degrees here." I'm like, "All right." So they asked me what I was doing. I said, "Hey, I'm on the beach," and they hung up on me.
Yeah, I would have hung
story,
up on
true
you.
Story. Yeah, but I didn't know. I didn't know. I actually didn't know that you could do that. I didn't know that. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm serious, you know. And like I said, if you grew up there and you talk about your roots, And that's like Hawaii, you know. Hawaii is a prime example as well. You got a lot of these young people, right, that never left the island. All they know is Hawaii. And, you know, believe it or not, Sally, you know, lived in Guam, lived in Maui, and lives here. She's never seen snow. So she wants me to take her to the Big Island. Or, well, we're going to Alaska in August so she can go see the snow.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I mean, if you don't adventure, you know, if you don't adventure it and take a chance, you'll never know.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that. Sorry, that last one. You never know. What is it that you'll never know?
Well, I said if you never take a chance, you'll never know.
Right. Yeah, I got it.
I mean, I have no desire to go back to the snow. I have no desire at all.
Well, there
just
might
for be business
in Alaska where maybe it's high enough or whatever that you'll see snow on the side of the road. I don't know where you're going and what the weather's going to be like or what or has been like at that point. But that's the kind of question you might ask, you know, depending on where you are going.
Yeah, well, we already have our itinerary. It's like a 10-day cruise, so it's like six stops in Alaska.
Okay, I'm with you.
Is that the Inland Passage?
Yeah, we're going. Yeah, it's on Carnival Cruise. We're going out of San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it seems like a nice cruise.
Oh, yeah. Everybody that I know that has gone on an Alaskan cruise has loved it. I've never heard.
Well, I
got to
be honest.
Say,
yeah. I got to be honest with you, John. I had no desire to go until just a few years ago. You know, it's like, where do you go when you live in when you live in paradise? Where do you go?
Yeah.
you know? I mean, what do? We go back down to the Caribbeans and lay on a resort where there's sand and the ocean?
Yeah.
I mean, what do we do? So yeah. I was like, well, you know, it'd be kind of neat to go see whales in August you know, see snow and stuff and maybe even do some fishing out there, maybe.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, where do you go when you live in Hawaii for so many years for a vacation? And what we say, the Big Island or Vegas?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? You know, where do you go?
Because my wife and I
thought that
talked
was...
about. Yeah, you're right though. My wife and I.
Yeah,
about...
what do you do?
Let John finish. I'm interested.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Respond. Go ahead, John.
My wife and I have sort of kind of kicked around the idea of moving to the mainland where our children are. But it's like, how can you move somewhere on the mainland that's going to be nicer than where we are right now? Because typically if you move, you want to like go to a place that's better. But I mean, I don't think there's, as far as scenery and, you know, low crime, I don't know where I could go that'd be nicer than Hawaii, really.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, the second
Midwest.
One. Yeah. Well, the second one, like you said, the biggest thing right now for me is the crime level. The crime level on the mainland is out of control.
Yeah,
you know, it's just out of control. So for me, it's hard to move anywhere right now.
Oh, totally. And everybody's just got a different attitude now after the pandemic.
Crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Because my oldest daughter lives in Sacramento, and they just had that big shooting the other night downtown. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And one person did it, and they got him in custody. I didn't read the article, but was it? Six dead and 12 injured or something like that, I think it was.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's like you could just be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean,
yeah,
that's crazy. That's nuts.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And Sacramento is supposed to be not really that bad of a spot. But, you know, it's like I said,
I didn't catch
bad timing.
Sorry, John. Sacramento is not that bad about what, did you say?
Oh, it's not that bad of a place to live.
Uh-huh.
You know, Sacramento's not that big. No, there's crime, but it's not crazy.
So they have this
and then this
event that... Yeah. Kind of
that shooting just kind of killed it.
Killed the reputation or killed the...
Yeah. A lot of places are getting like that. I mean, the handgun has just changed society, unfortunately.
Everybody's carrying a handgun? A lot of people?
Well, a lot more people, definitely.
I'm sure of that. You're right.
A lot of them are illegal.
Well, you know, John, I thought that you weren't going to stop at Hawaii, that you would say that your particular end of things is, you know, the quietest, most peaceful, most beautiful place on God's green earth or what.
Well, no place is perfect.
True. But, yeah.
I think a lot of it, we're thinking about being with our kids. Because they're not coming back here. There's no job.
Right.
But it's like, if it weren't for our children, there's no way we'd leave.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough decision. I mean, especially if they start having kids.
Yeah.
You know, then there'll be that draw. It's like Canada's moving to Troy.
Yeah, totally.
You know, the way I kind of view it, John, is that we go through phases of life. And, you know, part of it may be age, but also, you know, there's the phase of growing up as a family in Javi, and then the phase of, you know, the empty nester phase, if you will, you know, having grandkids phase, you know, every phase is...
That's like the normal. That's kind of like the normal, I don't know what's normal, but more of a normal cycle. But it's not for everybody.
True. I got it. And, but I mean, my sense is that that would be something that you and Vicky would lean towards, wouldn't you? I mean, it sounds like you're even.
Nah, if we did it, because it would be because of the kids. That'd be the only reason for me anyway.
Yeah, that's, I understand. But my question is whether you're actually considering moving.
We talk about it, but we never had a really good reason yet to leave.
I got it. Do you have grandkids up there?
No, nope. Our two girls aren't going to get married for a while. They enjoy being single.
Good for them.
Oh, yeah. And they can't move back here because they won't be able to make the kind of money they're making on the mainland.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things develop, you know. With, you know, you say it's going to be a while before they get married. I hear that, you know. Never know.
Yeah. That's right. I'm just really thankful. My health is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You stand.
That's the most. I'm
being around a little. Yeah. Longer, you mean?
Yeah, I'm the most thankful for that. Just overall, very satisfactory health. But then again, that could change anytime too. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it could. And I think it's important to keep a fit and healthy lifestyle. So, you know, I have another area that I want to broach here, 6:13 in the evening. Maybe I can talk about it for a minute. And I want to get Kathy talking about, let's say, eating and what her eating regimen is in relation to controlling the diabetes. And just her perspective on, you know, things that you feel are important to eat or not eat. For instance, ways of substituting one food for another, create a new habit of eating, you know, different portions of different kinds of foods, you know, whether you've thought about this kind of stuff and, you know, if you have, then what you've thought about, and especially how you might be, you know, doing things that you feel help to control the diabetes. So,
I'm in transition right now, but I do know what works. So far, I've done experimenting because I have that that's come on me, so I know exactly what food does to my blood sugar, and which ones work and which ones don't. And the best I've had my A1C is when I did a whole food plant-based diet. awful food. No processed food, no meat, no chicken, no fish. That was the best for my me. And I talked to my doctor the other day because she is looking at my last year, and she told me, well, what did you do in these months? And I said, whole food plant-based. What did you do in this month? Paleo. What did you do in this month? What if I wanted? And so, and says, for me, and she says it's not the same for everybody, but because my insulin resistance is so bad, that the whole food plant-based is the only thing that lowered it.
Oh, I didn't catch that. So, what was the only thing that lowered it?
When I went on my whole food plant-based diet, when I changed everything from any no processed food whatsoever, and I did basically salads and tofu, and I substituted a lot of beans and hummus and vegetables for snacks, no dairy, and that was the best. The best I've ever done. However, it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life so far.
Yeah.
So far.
Dairy, did you say?
Or none. I'm sorry, what?
Dropping dairy foods, you mean, was the hardest thing that you done?
No, just sticking to that one, to just whole food, plant-based. No dairy, no meat, no chicken, no fish, It was really hard. That was the hardest thing. I saw the results immediately. Within a week, my blood sugars were down, and I was already going lower with my insulin. And by the time I'm my fourth month, my A1C was like a regular person, but I was not happy.
Well, yeah.
Why?
I it's a hard diet, especially if your partner doesn't do it. And so. Yeah. I was cooking two different types of meals, one for him, one for me, and then once my daughter came, I was like, okay, I'm just going to cheat since she's here, and that was it. I mean, once you taste it, you're like, okay, I'll go back next week, okay, I'll go back to the week after, and then you go, well, maybe I'll try paleo, because I really like meat, and so I tried that, but it's good for sugars, but it does not help with my insulin resistance. It keeps it up. The meat, the chicken, the fish, all of that keeps my. I still need the same amount of insulin. But whole food plant based, actually, I didn't need as much insulin at all, and I know you too.
Wow.
So.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. So it depends. Do I want to eat pizza? Do I want to eat meat? And put myself with insulin. It's a very hard choice, and unfortunately, I don't want to. My whole goal is to lose weight, and I can't with insulin. It doesn't matter how much I exercise or how good I eat. If I have to use the same amount of insulin, it's like a fighting a losing battle to lose, let alone remain the same. So I have to decide what's more important.
So how long have you been diagnosed with diabetes?
I was gestational when my daughter was born, so that was in 2000. In 2000, and then I had type 2 for a while. Well, they think they misdiagnosed me for a long time. So I've been type 1 for maybe 6-7 years now.
So the type 2 came on from the gestational diabetes you had?
Well, they think it's hereditary. So I have always been not super big. I've always been pretty thin. This is the biggest I've ever been. Even 9 months pregnant, I was smaller than this. So it had nothing to do with what I was eating. It had everything to do with my family genetics.
Yep.
And so
you have
that made it harder. I have to say it made it harder. That nobody believed me. So they would feed me cake and pie and say, no, you need to eat, you're too small. And that was my downfall.
And you have a history of diabetes in your family?
Yeah, my mom and then you. And then, so, yes. That's what I struggle with.
The struggle too.
Yeah, it's just I'm kind of familiar.
let me have a say for a minute. Yeah, I appreciate your getting Kathy going on this, John. there are a couple of things that I have to say at the get-go here. I got less than half of what she said, and because she's coming across a little bit, and so the question I'm going to ask John to tell me and Kathy and Jerry what Kathy has been saying. It sounds like you have a pretty good handle on it. And then Kathy,
I you know what? I'm so sorry. I have to go. There's an emergency I got to take care of. I'm so sorry. I had a call. I totally flaked on something because I'm sick. So I got a call. So I'm gonna get off this call. So sorry. I'll talk to you folks later.
Fine.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, Kathy. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Take care, Kathy.
Bye.
That was nice of her to actually be on that call. She probably longer than she should have. What time is it? 6:21. We have at least another 15 or so minutes. What was I going to say here? We should probably have a couple of minutes of silence here to reflect on that interesting conversation. And then we can come back and finish up with a few things, maybe. Let's see. What did I say? 2 minutes? 2 minutes.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to give John an opportunity to talk about what he was hearing from Kathy. And at the same time, Jerry, open it up to you as well after John has had a say. You know, if you hear or heard anything different, you know, that you could add to the conversation. Don, do you want to take it away?
I think, well, for me, because of my paramedic background, I'm kind of familiar with diabetes. And on my mom's side, my mom and my grandfather, mom's side, all had a history of diabetes. And Kathy was explaining, if, you know, if it's in your family tree, the chances of the offspring or whatever coming down with diabetes is a lot greater. And she had talked about the different kinds of diet and the plant-based diet lowered her blood sugar the best, but it's probably the most awful diet you have to eat because it doesn't taste good after a while. So, you know, to live a normal, you know, that's kind of a rough way to live, to have to really watch your eat, what you eat that much. And because of, it's in her bloodline, she still has to try to work at it, but there's only so much you can do because you're going against your family tree. And so it can be very it can be very frustrating.
What do you mean, or what does she mean by you're going against your family tree? Do you know?
Well, it,
sorry.
It's in her genes. And so, you know, like for me, like my mom and my mom's parents all had diabetes. So basically it's somewhere in their gene tree. So no matter how well I eat or how much I exercise, I still have a higher risk or higher incidence of coming down with diabetes. And so sometimes it can be kind of discouraging because you can try all these different diets and they might work, but only to a certain extent. But you're never going to be completely free of it because it's hidden in your genes somewhere. So, yeah, diabetes, it's one of the worst diseases you can get because it affects so many of the systems in your body.
Hi, how are you? Good, good.
What did you say, Jared?
I didn't say anything. Some elderly lady was closing her door and saying hi to me.
Okay.
Because I'm walking.
Yeah, I think what we're talking about is very interesting. You know, it comes down to a kind of a question of if you have a high risk of contracting diabetes, then, you know, there are certain things that you might have to do in order to minimize the risk. And so yeah, the compromises that you make between, you know, the things that you should do and the things that you want to do because your habits and your kind of almost like your genes. I mean, the kinds of things that you crave, let's say, you know, are not good for you. They're bad for you. And so when the doctor comes along and says, you got to cut out this and this and this, that's hard to do because you're already in the habit, I think. And so you're used to eating that stuff, but it's really terrible for you. And I think part of it is the craving of that food that is an issue because it's hard to give up, you know?
Yep. Your lifestyle, your partner. So every 6 months I have a blood test and they check my blood sugar levels, and the doctor does that because of the history of diabetes in my family. And he feels it's important to really monitor that because diabetes too is one of these, like, you know, if you fall down and break your arm, you know you did something or you screwed up or whatever. But diabetes, you can come down with it and you don't really know that you have it. There's no real warning signs in the beginning. So I'm sure there are a lot of people walking around that, you know, might have diabetes, and there's a lot of times there's no way to know. And that's what makes it so dangerous. Hey, yeah. Jerry, what about you? You have any thoughts on this?
What I took out of her conversation was that she thinks she's had it and she got misdiagnosed. She thinks she's had it longer than what she thought. And I'm like, well, how do you miss that? You know, if you go to the doctor, how do you miss that? Especially if she was pregnant too, right? So she had a term of 8-9 months, I assume. Yeah. So I know people that have diabetes, but I don't know too much about it.
Yeah.
And all I know is that they stick their finger once a day or, you know, whenever they feel weak.
Yeah.
And, but I think you can actually die from it if you don't monitor it very well, understanding.
Yeah, definitely. You can definitely die because usually it's your kidneys. And your kidneys are just like the oil filter in your car. So if your oil filter is not working, a lot of times, like, you know, I think a doctor will examine somebody and, you know, their blood pressure is good, all of that stuff is good. So, and like I said, you can kind of come down with diabetes, and there's no pain, in the beginning, there's no warning signs. It's not until it kind of gets entrenched or there, and, you know, you just kind of got to live with it. But, yeah.
Well, John, what causes it, you know? What causes diabetes?
Your pancreas produces insulin. I think everybody's heard about insulin, and, like, basically what insulin does, whenever you eat, your stomach produces the energy in the form of all those sugars. And there has to be some kind of mechanism or some kind of transporter to get those sugars that you've digested into your cells to keep your cells alive. And insulin is kind of like the transporter that takes the sugar from your bloodstream and transports it into all your individual cells to keep you alive.
Gotcha.
So once you start showing signs of diabetes, your pancreas stops producing the insulin. So that creates a problem because your cells can't get the energy inside. So diabetes is
lethargy. You feel tired
because you have too much sugar.
Too much sugar.
Or a lot of times, people, your body will try to get rid of the sugar by making you pee more, and that's one indicator.
Gotcha.
Or some people develop a certain kind of odor to your breath because your lungs are trying to get rid of it. But a lot of times, it's kind of too late already. By the time stuff. And if your kidneys, because you also have all those tiny blood vessels that keep your kidneys alive, and diabetes is very hard on your blood vessels. So if the diabetes causes your kidneys to die, you're kind of screwed. Because then you lose the filter. And if you're like, well, you know, in your car, Jerry, if you don't have an oil filter, you're only going to run so long. And that's it. So then people go on renal dialysis.
Yeah,
and dialysis
is,
you know, they take your blood, run it through a filter, and it basically does the same function as your kidneys, but that's a last resort.
So what was the typical emergency that you had to deal with, John, when you were, you know, driving ambulances in Honolulu with, you know, diabetics that were in shock or whatever it's called? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Actually, diabetes is so common now, and with medication like injectable insulin, or some people, if their pancreas is still functioning, they can just take oral medication, which is oral insulin. But now, because of science and knowledge, there are not too many times you can go into a crisis from diabetes. But it's basically the long term, year after year, of living with the disease. That's what eventually catches up to you in the end.
Well,
and then
are the symptoms at that point? I mean, I see usually local guys, overweight guys in their, let's say, 50s or 60s that are walking into Foodland, you know, on their slippers. And so see their ankles and going up into their mid shin a lot of times is really discolored, dark colored. And I assume that that's a sign of diabetes. Is that true, do you think? Or
well, it's more an overall sign of some kind of circulation problem, because you're not getting enough blood flow to your legs. So that's what causes those cells to kind of have a hard time. And diabetes is one of those diseases that is really hard on your circulatory system. I mean, diabetes affects almost everything in your body. Yeah, so... Once you get it, the regime of what she has to live under is, a lot of people can't do it. They might try for a while, but, you know. And if you have kidney failure and your kidney shut down, the only thing that's going to keep you alive is renal dialysis. But that's a really hard way to live. And if you have a person who doesn't want to do dialysis, they're going to die in 2 or 3 weeks, because if you lose that filter, all those poisons in your body have no way to get filtered out. And eventually you're going to die. Yeah, diabetes.
I have a proposal. And the proposal basically is that we form a team to support Kathy in doing whatever she needs to do to minimize the risk of severe diabetes, you know, that causes her a big health issue. You know, at least a short time. Team could go somewhere.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think if a lot of the people on the team know about diabetes and, you know, the causes and stuff, I think it'd be easier for her, because at least she knows that everybody kind of understands the situation. Because a lot of people, I mean, everybody's heard of diabetes, right? Everybody's heard of insulin, but not everybody knows the mechanics of the disease.
Yeah,
so sometimes it's hard.
I could not have explained it as well as you did, John, by far. And so I think there are a couple of things. One is that, you know, when we get Robert back, for instance, and Norm, we have another conversation about diabetes. And either refer them to this conversation, which we'll have the recording of, or, you know, repeat it for them, or find out what they think about it. I should say, you know,
sure.
think about what causes diabetes. Because Norm might have a pretty good idea, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he does. As a physician.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah, and so we'll learn. I'll learn. If anybody learns, you know, and I'm sure, I'm pretty sure Jerry will learn too. And so we'll all learn more about, you know, the effects
of
diabetes and how it could possibly affect us, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So us in
Norm would be a good one, actually.
So
with his training.
Let's
yeah, but diabetes is, and there are actually quite a few. I don't know what the statistics are, but diabetes is definitely not rare. It's out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any kind of background knowledge can only benefit everybody.
Right. Well, everybody, speaking of everybody, 6:40 in the morning. I have what you know, my usual what do you call Buddhist meeting. I decided to not go tonight because I have two dear friends visiting from Kauai that are dear friends of mine through Candace, and so they're here. And they're going to be here this evening and then most of the day tomorrow. And so I'm going to take off with them. But the
sure. point
that, you know, they're, we've made a date for soon. I'm not sure if they're back or what's going on, but they're on the other side of the house from me. So I got to go inside and find out what's going on. So that's the first step. And then the plan is to walk up to the top of the hill, you know, and look around because they're very interested in, you know, the houses up there, what they're like in the upper class section. I only live in.
So Jerry, you know what the takeaway of this is? Keep the engine oil.
Yeah, get off the phone.
Clean. Keep your engine oil clean.
Okay. Sure thing.
Good night, everybody.
Okay.
Evening, ladies.
Nice night.
All right, guys. Have a good night. Talk to you Wednesday.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.